Rich Lenkoff, do you have anything to say about that Javi Baez play yesterday?
I sent it to my 12U team that I coach and told them, watch this, because it's all about fundamentals. I tell them every single week, go for the easy out, go for the lead runner, and I'm making them watch it so that they see how this works in real life.
Coach Rich Lenkoff, partner at Bryce Downey and Lenkoff. He's the co-host of WGN Radio's Legal Faceoff podcast and a regular guest here when we've got legal questions. I want to get to Donald Trump's suit. I want to talk about what Shell's climate change lawsuit is about. I think that's fascinating. But just for fun, let's start with the Gwyneth Paltrow goop suit. What's going on there?
I thought you'd leave that one for last.
No, this is quite
amusing, but that's a good lead. So, yeah, Gwyneth Paltrow's company, Goop, has been sued after a candle that has a particular kind of smell. I'm not sure we could mention it on air, John. Sorry, it's going on in my background
actually,
here.
And but, actually, you can. I don't care. It's a part of the body. It's a real thing.
Right, and it is the actual name of the candle. So this candle is called, I believe, It Smells Like My Vagina. And the candle allegedly exploded and has exploded on other consumers in the past. And for that reason, this individual has filed a class action lawsuit against Gwyneth Paltrow's company, alleging that the candle is dangerous, that it explodes for no reason. And they're asking for $5 million in damages. We talked about this yesterday on the podcast and, you know, had, of course, many interesting comments. One of them was, you know, the biggest crime, I think, is that you're paying $75 for a candle, John.
That smells like that.
Yeah, that's the biggest. Right, exactly. But yes, of course, the company has denied that there's any issue with the candle. And
When cell phone batteries and vaginas blow up and people get injured, don't you have a right to sue them? I mean, if they're making a defective product, you probably have some recourse, right?
Of course. You know, they're suing them for breach of warranty and product liability. And, of course, if something explodes, you know, the allegation is that it was a defective product and there is legal resource. Of course, the company is denying that that was the case. And without getting too deep in the weeds, there is a concept called strict liability, that you don't have to prove that the company knew or even, you know, should have known that the candle was defective. All you have to show is that the candle blew up. So that is a theory that is being pursued in this case. But more typically, John, you'll have to prove as a plaintiff that the company was aware of some defect or they should have been aware of it. That's a harder case to prove.
Shell's climate change lawsuit. This is fascinating to me. Shell, of all companies, isn't green enough, right?
Yeah, they're akin to Russia. Russia is the fourth biggest polluter in the world, and Shell produces the same amount of toxins as Russia does. So that should give you some sense of the scale of this. But yeah, yesterday we learned from a court in the Netherlands that Shell has been ordered to cut their emissions by 45% by the end of the decade. This is really significant because it basically makes Shell a de facto signatory of the Paris Accords, which doesn't apply to corporations, but it's applying the same standards, the same emission standards that signatories to the Paris Accords are responsible for. So that, you know, in many eyes has signaled a very aggressive court to go after Shell in this way. There's about 1,800 lawsuits around the country similar to this one. And again, many are looking at this as very activist work by the judiciary to go after corporations. One question is, how does this affect, you know, Shell domestically here in the United States, which is an interesting question that we talked about yesterday. And it's obviously very different, right? The rest of the world looks at some of these issues far differently than the United States, and there's a lot of, you know, politics wrapped in. But for now, it's a very significant decision that, of course, Shell has said they will be appealing.
Talk to me about the Trump grand jury case.
Yeah, so this week we heard from the New York Times reporting that the DA in New York, Cyrus Vance, is advancing, in fact, is convening a grand jury or has convened a grand jury to investigate the Trump Organization. This means that prosecutors are ready to present evidence and potentially seek indictments against Trump, his company, his family, or its officers. Now, you know, this should be taken in context. They have been investigating Trump and his family and the real estate business since at least 2018. So this is an ongoing process. This shouldn't be a huge surprise. But the fact that they convene a grand jury is a part of the process and does mean that they're advancing and they've got at least some evidence that they think can be presented to a grand jury.
Is it a number of crimes they might charge him with? Income tax evasion, paying of Stormy Daniels, stuff like that?
So many. Too numerous to count. And again, you know, these prosecutors, and they're also working in conjunction with, you remember the New York State Attorney General is investigating Trump. So they're working in conjunction. They have wide-ranging authority once they start, you know, uncovering alleged crimes. They keep going, and they go wherever the evidence finds them. So it's going to cover all the things you mentioned and anything else they find. And the really key name, John, to remember here is Alan Weisselberg. Why is that a key player? Because he is a former CFO, top money guy.
Right.
Basically, the only person named Trump, or not named Trump, in the inner circle. And his daughter gave a couple of interviews in the last week. His former daughter-in-law, I should say, gave a couple of interviews where she was asked point blank, do you think Weisselberg will flip on Trump? She said, yes, for sure. And just yesterday, she was kicked out of her apartment at Trump Tower. She says her father-in-law, ex-father-in-law, is going to flip. Next thing she knows, she's moving out of Trump Tower.
Well, I think
so
she learned a lesson there. Yeah.
Exactly.
If this guy flips,
John, it's bad news for Trump.
Legal Face-Off is your podcast. Okay, these and other topics with Rich Lenkoff and company.